Before we get into our service this morning, I just want to introduce my mom and dad are here with us this morning, so maybe if mom and dad, you'll just, so it's a blessing to have family, and it's also humbling because family know you the best, and you can't hide from family, so they know the good, the bad, the ugly, and so, but it's a blessing to have mom and dad here as well. We have been on a journey of the path of discipleship, and if you've brought your Bibles, and I certainly hope that you have, turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 5, and if you need to use the Pew Bibles, you'll find that on page 1501. And so for contextual reasons, I'll be reading the first 9 verses. We are going to be looking at verse 7 this morning, and we're going to be talking about mercy and what it really means to be merciful and how our relationship with God should impact how we are merciful and just how our life should be transformed. Before we read this, I'm just going to throw this out here, is that the first 4 Beatitudes that we looked at, they deal with the inner principles of our heart. The inner principles of our heart and mind, and they're concerned with how we see ourselves before God. Meaning, are we individuals that view ourselves as self-righteous and we can achieve what only God can accomplish, or are we individuals in desperate need of a Savior? And I think over the last several weeks we found that we all are individuals that are in desperate need of a Savior. The last 3 Beatitudes, and this one this week begins the last 3, they all deal with an outward manifestation or an outward showing of these attitudes. And the first outward manifestation of the inward attitude is one of mercy. And we're going to find that the pronouncement for all of us is that we are happy, we are joyful, we are truly blessed when we show mercy because God gives us more mercy. But without further ado, let's turn to the scripture and look at verse 1 of chapter 5. And Jesus, seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons and daughters of God. I believe that God wants us to live our life out of the overflow of our Christian journey. Now, what that means is this: as we interact with the living Lord, as we encounter God in our personal life, the overflow out of our journey with Christ is where we need to live. So as God pours love into our heart, as he pours mercy into our heart, we need to live out of the overflow of that, meaning that it's only out of his love, it's only out of his mercy that we can live. We're going to find here this morning that if it's not for God's love, if it's not for God's mercy, then you nor I nor anyone else in this world can ever show mercy. What is mercy, though? Mercy can be defined as a compassionate or kindly forbearance shown toward an offender, an enemy, or another person in one's power. Compassion, pity, or benevolence. I don't need to remind any of us that the scriptures in the book of Romans tells us that while we were still enemies of God, meaning that you and I, we opposed God, we were not friends of God, we were not even in the same realm with God, we were enemies of God, Christ died for you and for me. Jesus, once we receive him as our Lord and Savior, he calls us all friends. What we're going to find is that mercy is love received. John 3:16, we're told, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Some of us might say, well, but I can love on my own. No, we can't. 1 John, we love because he first loved us. You see, mercy is love received. Jesus, when we were enemies of a holy God, a perfect God, when we were opposing God, he decided to come and save us because he had compassion on you and I, and he knew that we were in a dilemma. We were enemies of God. And God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. Now the question that we all have to ask is whether or not we're going to receive God's love in the form of mercy, because mercy is love received, truly. If we choose to not receive God's love, and there are many people in this world who will choose that and hear that, there are people who will refuse to accept the saving grace and the salvation that Jesus has bought and paid for them, and they will refuse the sacrifice of Christ in their life. They will never receive mercy. Mercy, my friends, is love received. So the first challenge for all of us is to recognize that God so loved you that he did not hold anything back, but yet he laid it all on the line. And we all need to recognize that and say, you know what? God so loved me, God so loved you, that I need to grab a hold of that love and receive it and not allow anything to come in between God's love and me, God's love and you. And whatever comes in between God's love and you needs to go. It needs to be getting rid of. Mercy are acts because of a need. Hear that. Jesus saw our need. He saw our plight. And the mercy is an act based on a need of an individual. We have the clipboards going around this morning for Western Avenue. That's merciful. It's a mercy act because there's a need. There are hungry people in this world that are in desperate need of food. Jesus saw your need, he saw my need, and he acted upon that need. Yet not with mercy, but love acts because of an affection. God so loved the world. Love acts because of an affection. Mercy acts because of a need. Your need, my need, was a sin problem. Is a sin problem. That doesn't change God's love. It doesn't affect how he feels about you and about me. But Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is based upon your need and my need. Mercy is reserved for times of trouble. Those times where we're in a dilemma and we're stuck, and yet God's mercy is showered upon us, yet God's love is always constant. There can be no mercy apart from love, because mercy stems from love. It proceeds from love, and mercy is love received. Mercy is an essential characteristic of the God that we serve. Now, I want you to understand that the mercy is an essential characteristic of the God that we love and who loves us. All throughout the scriptures, we're told in Exodus, in Psalms, in 2 Corinthians, in Titus 3:5, in Nehemiah, in Micah, that God is called merciful, that God possesses mercy, that God's the source of all mercy. And because of that, it's an essential characteristic of God. But it gets better. You see, God doesn't just possess mercy. He's not just the source of mercy, but he is ready and willing to bestow mercy on you and on me. And not only is he ready and willing to bestow mercy on you and on me, but he delights in that. Micah 7:18, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not restrain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. You see, last week when we looked at hungering and thirsting after righteousness, I shared with you that that's a pivotal point, because we're moving from how our vertical relationship with God affects our horizontal relationships with other people. And how we view God interacting with us is how we're going to view our relationships with others. If we view God as a holy God and mean and absolutely ready just to club us every time we step out of line, we're going to treat people the same way. But the truth of the matter is this, is that God is a holy God, he's a loving God, he's a caring God, he's a merciful God, and he's not just a merciful God, but he is a God who delights in bestowing mercy on you and on me. So every time we need mercy, We need not fear what God's reaction is going to be. We can approach a holy God out of reverence and out of fear, but we can always understand that God isn't going to just swat us out of the way, but He's going to receive us well. He's going to embrace us. He's going to lavish on us His love, and He's going to show us mercy. And it's His mercy. Much more, it's Him. He isn't just giving you something. He's giving you Himself. God, having the characteristic of mercy, He is giving part of you to Himself. And every time we are in need of mercy, every time we are needing for that forgiveness and that compassion, that help in a time of trouble, every time that happens, it's just as if we're realizing Jesus dying and sacrificing His life on the cross for you and I again. Because He's laying Himself down for you and for me. So understand that God is a God who is merciful, who loves you and me so much that He sent Jesus. Hebrews 2:17, we're told that we have a merciful and faithful high priest named Jesus, that He might make atonement for the sins of the people. Jesus is not only love incarnate, but Jesus is mercy incarnate. Meaning, Jesus is mercy in the flesh. Everything that Jesus did was an act of mercy. I'm going to give you five different examples of the model of Jesus and how He reflected mercy to a merciless world. The woman caught in adultery in John 8. If you remember with me, you know, this woman is brought before Him and eventually they're ready to stone her. And Jesus looks at him and says, "Hey, who's without sin? Let them cast the first stone." And He reveals their hypocrisy going on. He deals with individuals in a merciful manner. The lepers. He doesn't just walk by the lepers who were outcast and put outside of the city because of the fear of being contaminated, and people would push them aside. He doesn't just walk beside them. He walks over to them and He does the unthinkable. He touches them. He touches the untouchable in an act of mercy. Lazarus dies. And He goes and He sees Lazarus' family. And what's He do? He weeps. Mercy. He shares His love, His compassion. There was a time when the little children would be being brought to Jesus and all the adults were saying, "Hey, get these kids away from Him. He's got more important things to do." And yet, in a role reversal, He says, "Let the little children come to Me. Because if you do not have faith like a little child, you will not inherit the kingdom of God." And lastly, the healing of the blind. He's walking through the street and you have blind Bartimaeus crying out to Jesus and they're saying, "Be quiet, be quiet, be quiet." What's Jesus do? He stops. He says, "Bring him to Me." And He heals him. I want you to understand. I want you to grasp the fact that we have a Savior who is a merciful God, who is a loving Creator, who absolutely is so merciful, it doesn't matter what we've done, it doesn't matter where we've been, it doesn't matter who we've seen, it doesn't matter what we've said. Time and time again, He reflects how He will receive you and I in those moments. Mercy is meeting people's needs. Years ago, I was driving down State Route 5 on Northeast Ohio, and it was during the snow, and I was overdue for some new tires. And I wasn't driving too fast or anything, but it was snowy, and did a 360 in the middle of the road. No one was hurt, but my car sat right off of the side of the road, and it got hung up on a snowbank. And I looked and I thought, okay, where's the nearest house that I can go to? So you know, I was right in front of a mobile home park and I thought, well, that's great. You know, there's got to be somebody home. So I go up to the first door, see the curtain pulled back. Someone looks out. I'll come to the door. The next door, same thing. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, I'm pointing to my car saying, okay, don't come to the door. Call the cops, call the tow truck. That's what I need help. And sometimes I think when we understand that mercy meeting people's needs is what mercy is, and until we've been face to face with having a need and never seeing someone come and meet that need, that's rough. That's a rough thing to experience. Mercy is not simply feeling compassion, but showing compassion. It's not only sympathizing, but giving a helping hand. Mercy is giving food to the hungry, comfort to the bereaved, love to the rejected, forgiveness to the offender, and companionship to the lonely. Scriptures say that we have a high priest who can relate to everything we've gone through. When Jesus said, "I will step out of heaven and I will walk away from my home, I will step into this world and put on flesh and walk a mile in those shoes of whom I love," that, my friends, was the supreme display of mercy, because he is a Savior that says, "I understand what you're struggling with. I understand what you're going through. I understand you need strength now. I understand you need peace now. I understand you need guidance now and wisdom," whatever it may be. Two components of mercy. Mercy must include forgiveness. If it doesn't, it's not mercy, my friends. Forgiveness flows from mercy. And as we all who have professed faith in Christ, we have been born anew through God's great mercy of his forgiveness for you and for me. Not only should mercy include forgiveness, but mercy must include compassion. Not just lip service of saying, "I understand and may God be with you," but a true heartfelt compassion. The compassion that cries with those who are weeping. The compassion that absolutely walks through the valley of the shadow of struggle with those who are walking through it. It's not just a compassion to say, "Be well." It's a compassion to say, "I'll go through it with you." Mercy, my friends, can be displayed in four practical ways. And I want to give us these ways here. Then I'll close. The first way is we can show mercy through physical acts of kindness. You know, we're taught about the Good Samaritan, and Jesus taught that parable. And I don't need to remind any of us that the first two individuals that passed the individual that was beaten and left for dead were who? A priest and a Levite. Religious individuals. And then you have a Samaritan come along who was scorned and scoffed at because of his ethnicity. He was viewed and looked down upon. But yet the physical act of kindness, the physical act of compassion, the physical act of caring for, he not only binds up the wounds of this guy who is robbed and beaten, but he puts him on his donkey or his mule, takes him to an inn and says, "I'm going to pay for this, and whatever is charged that needs to be paid for, I'll be back to pay for that." That, my friends, is mercy. Western Avenue, we show a physical act of mercy when we go up there and we prepare a meal for individuals who may or may not understand where their next meal's coming from. Giving clothing to the Salvation Army or giving clothing to Western Avenue, that's a physical act of compassion. Visiting the sick and those who are imprisoned, the food pantry here, and then financial assistance. Those, my friends, are ways that we can show mercy to the world. The second way is the ministry of presence. Don't overlook this. I've sat with people time and time again, and I've absolutely said nothing for hours. Because there's nothing, sometimes words can be said. But just sit and just be there. The ministry of presence to the shut-ins, to those who are grieving, going through a time of bereavement or funerals, times of crises. And don't underestimate the fact of just your presence being there to say, "I care." There may be times that there's nothing that you can do to assist that person, but just to be there and to listen, to care enough to put your stuff aside for that moment in time and to say, "You're more important than what I got in my life." That, my friends, is mercy. The third way is in our inner attitudes. Mercy has no grudges. Mercy has no resentments. Mercy has no capitalization on others' failures or weaknesses. And mercy doesn't rejoice in another person's failures, faults, sins, whatever. Mercy, my friends, starts in our heart. Mercy starts with God pouring His love deep within our souls, and then it spills over and it bubbles out, and then we reflect God to this world. The fourth way we can show mercy in this world is our care and concern for the lost. Merciful Christians will grieve for the souls from which God has departed. And that doesn't mean that God's going to leave anybody. That's not what I'm saying. But the fact of the matter is, if people will not receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are on the outside looking in. We, as merciful people, need to grieve over those people. There's nothing more sad to me to this day than to watch an individual struggle and toil and strive to do things in their own power and in their own strength, and they have not been able to tap into Christ because they refuse to accept His sacrificial gift of love in the form of mercy. Spiritually, mercy can be showed by confrontation. Loving someone enough to say, I know what road you're on, and this is where it leads. To love them enough. I'm here to tell you that would it not be that if we turn our head the other way and we see somebody heading down the road, that's not loving them. That's turning a blind eye. A gentle, loving rebuke for the purpose that they will come to the truth. Spiritually, we can show mercy by praying for the lost, by praying for the ministries, praying for receiving God's gift of grace in Jesus for those who have yet to receive His grace. And lastly, spiritually, by sharing the gospel, by sharing the good news. Those four practical ways. Western Avenue, it's a great form of sharing mercy. It's a great way to show and reflect what God has given to you and what He has done for me, what He has poured into my life, and to allow it to bubble out. But here's the blessedness. Blessed, happy, joyous, I'll even say honored, are those who are merciful. And you want to know why? Because they will receive mercy. The more that we come in contact with the Holy God, the more we're face to face with our inadequacies of our inability to achieve salvation on our own, the more we ought to be coming to terms with the fact that we need, in a desperate way, God's mercy. Blessed are those who show mercy, because God's going to give you mercy. He's going to give me mercy. I don't know about you, but the closer that I walk with Christ, the more I learn about God's holiness and the reverence that we ought to have for Him, the more I am very, very aware of my need for His mercy. The more I understand how far short I fall, how much I can never achieve what Jesus has bought and paid for, and the more I grasp the depth of my own selfishness and my own wants and yearnings and desires. So my friends, if you want God's mercy, start by showing the mercy that God has already given to you in your heart and in your soul. Jesus put it this way in Luke 6:36. He said, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. So as we go down this path, I shared with you last week, we were at the crossroads, and now we're moving out. Next week, we're going to be moving out even further. And ultimately, we're going to end up in verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. The Apostle Paul says, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We partner with God. And where does that start? It starts by showering people with the love received that you have given and received from Christ incarnate, mercy incarnate. to others who may or may not deserve it. But let's not forget, we didn't deserve it either. And yet God so loved you, He so loved me, that He said, Jesus, you go. You purchase this. You sacrifice everything. You hold nothing back. And then those of us who have received love as mercy, we are commanded and called to share mercy with others. Let's pray. Father God, we humbly come to you, Jesus, to just thank you for your sacrifice, to thank you for being a merciful God, knowing that we can approach you. You're not going to crack us upside the head or say, get away. You're going to receive us. You're going to take us in and wrap your loving arms around us. Oh, Jesus, what a blessed thing it is to know that you're a Savior who cares, a Savior who has compassion, not just sympathy, but you have the heartfelt, gut-wrenching compassion for our situation. Lord, give us your courage, give us your strength, give us your abounding love deep within our hearts and souls that it might overflow, that we could live out of the overflow of our Christian journey with you. Allow us to be courageous enough. Allow us to be strong enough. Allow us to be willing to step out to show those who don't even deserve it mercy. The mercy that you so lovingly lavished on us. So, Father, I thank you for my friends and I commit them to your care now. I thank you for the God that you are, a merciful God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Western Avenue? Yeah.